Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
But it was fun to go ahead and open up the windows this morning and to have that nice cool air greet you in the face and went to put the dog outside and we have a beagle. You've heard us talk about Bo, our beagle, and he loves to play in the rain, but that rain was cold this morning. And so I opened up the door, and he goes running outside, and he turned right around and came running back inside, looked up at me and says, "Daddy, it's cold out there." So we did a little drop kick and sent him back out there, and he did his thing and got back in. But you could tell even he was revitalized, you know, all that nice cool air and so it was a fun time this morning. Well, we are continuing in our study of Job. And Job is so very interesting because number one, it is the oldest scene in the Word of God after the Garden of Eden. This takes place soon, probably after the fall, before the flood. And we see a lot of things going on, and what the thing that I enjoy or appreciate in the study of the book of Job is that Job is struggling with the same things that we struggle with today in our lives. He knows that God can change his circumstance, but for some reason, God has chosen not to. Now, we have read the story, so we know what's going on behind the scenes. But the book of Job has not been written yet, so Job is not able to see what's going on in his life. And so we have this situation with Job where he is just beside himself that the God he loves seems not to be responding to his prayers. Now, in another life, many years ago, I used to be in law enforcement. And it was interesting. We would be looking for this first cool day of autumn in law enforcement, because especially down here in the South, people are hanging out indoors in the air conditioning, and people have a tendency to get on each other's nerves. And so we had a lot of domestic problems that we had to respond to. And a domestic dispute is the most terrible thing that a police officer ever wants to respond to. You don't ever win as a police officer in a domestic dispute. I mean, it's just impossible. We went into one house one time, and the wife is sitting there just literally beat to a pulp, and we're saying, "Okay, where's your husband at?" "He's not here, and my husband didn't do this." And ultimately, we found him under the bathroom sink. Okay, now you know how small that space is in there where he was hiding in there. And so we go ahead and drag him out, and this lady who just moments before was getting the living tar beat out of her by this husband, then she turns on us and begins to attack us because we're getting ready to take her husband into custody. So for a police officer, domestic disputes are just very, very difficult. And even if they don't choose to defend each other, then at the very best, it's a he said, she said. And he did this. Well, I wouldn't have done that if she hadn't have done that. Or no, I didn't. She did it to me first. And all of these things. And it's really, it's just a heartache. A police officer's worst nightmare is a domestic dispute. But the thing that is obvious when you're dealing with a domestic dispute is there's always two sides to every story. There's always two sides to every story. And as we continue with our study of Job, we now get to Job's third friend. This is the youngest of them. The two older friends have been lecturing Job now for days, telling him how he is obviously such a sinner because God would not do this to him had he not been such a secret sinner. And as we found out last week, even one of them said, well, if your children died, it was simply because they were the recipients of God's justice. And so such comforting words from Job's best friends in such a sorrowful time in his life. But this week we're looking at Zophar. And Zophar is the youngest of the guys, and it seems that he has a little bit better insight of what's going on than his older friends. And so I'll begin reading in Job chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Then Zophar the Naamathite answered, "Shall a multitude of words go unanswered, and a talkative man be acquitted? Shall your boasts silence men, and shall you scoff and none rebuke? For you have said, 'My teaching is pure, and I am innocent in your eyes.' But would that God might speak and open his lips against you and show you the secrets of wisdom. For sound wisdom has two sides, and know that God forgets a part of your iniquity." And we're going to leave off right there just for a minute. And what Zophar is recognizing is that there's two sides to every story. And all that they've been hearing from Job up to this point is Job's side of the story. I'm innocent. I've never done anything. And Job is partially right in that. But even I'll get to that in a second. I'm getting ahead of myself here. He's right partially in that. And what Zophar is saying, Job, you know, all I hear is all of your words and all your arguments, and you are a great debater, Job. But does a man who is able to debate and is so talkative, does he get acquitted? Is he turned free? Is he set free just because he's a good talker? And then he goes on, and so you're both silenced men, and will you scoff and none rebuke? And verse 5, but would that God might speak and open his lips against you. Job, all we've heard is how you feel that you have been set upon. You have been done wrong, and you can't understand why you've done wrong. But Job, might you stop just for a moment and think there might be two sides to this story? And I know that you've been saying that I've been praying to God and I can't understand and I've done my best and all that. But Job, we're not going to understand what's going on here until we hear from God. God is the one who recognizes all of the little parts that's going on behind the scenes, and we're going to have to hear from God. God's going to have to be the one that reveals his will towards you. Now, Zophar doesn't realize it, but in saying this, he has invited Father God to participate in this little drama. Later on in the book of Job, guess who shows up? Yeah, God shows up. And God does have a few choice words, not only for Job, but for his friends. And so, Zophar here, I don't know if he understands the impact of what he's saying. He said, oh, that God would show up. Then you would get yours. Okay, well, God is going to show up and we'll find out who's going to get his. And to show you the secrets of wisdom, for sound wisdom has two sides. Now, excuse me, know then that God forgets a part of your iniquity. And that's the next thing I wanted to look at, is that, you know, each of us fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, the word for sin in the Greek is harmateo. And it means to pull back the bow, to aim that arrow at the bullseye, and to fall short. Might be high, might be off to the right, off to the left, or down low, but to miss the mark. The mark is God's perfect will. Sin is missing God's perfect will. And I think that as hard as we may try every day, we have to admit that every day that we have not attained room temperature, every day that we are still breathing air, that throughout the day, we're going to miss the mark. Maybe just a little bit. But as they say, you know, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. All right? It's not that God says, it's okay, you missed just a little bit. No, we missed His will. Maybe by something that we did, maybe by something that we failed to do. But each of us fail God in some way. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so what Zophar is saying here is actually true here. He says, know then that God forgets a part of your iniquity. God looks at all that you're doing, and you know what? If He were to hold everything that we do against us, man, we would be just a little pile of ashes. That's all that would be left. Don't anyone here ever pray for God's justice in your life. You do not want God's justice in your life. We, if we have any wisdom, we cry out for mercy. God, don't give me what I deserve. Just let me enjoy and be the recipient of your mercy, of your grace. Amen? And so even so far back then, thousands of years before the life of Christ, is understanding that if God held each of us accountable for every failure, that, as the young kids say today, we'd be toast. All right? We would be just a little pile of ashes. And so God, out of His mercy, forgets part of our iniquity. And then Zophar continues on. And it's a challenge to us. As a matter of fact, we went over some of this last Wednesday in our study of the bad girls of the Bible. And Zophar says, can you discover the depths of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? What did Jonah say? When I go to the depths, thou art there. Amen? You cannot go to where God isn't. Amen? And so, can you discover the depths of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? They're as high as the heavens. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol. What can you know? And so what Zophar is pointing out, not only to Job, but also to his older and supposedly much wiser friends, is, guys, don't even try to figure out God. Amen? That's why, listen folks, that's why God's Word is so important to us. All that we can be sure of about the Heavenly Father is what He reveals to us in His Word. Amen? And the Word says, what heaven and earth shall pass away, but Thy Word, O God, abides forever. That's why it's so important for us to know God's Word, to embrace God's Word, to memorize His Word, to make it part of our lives, because that's all we really do know about God, is that little bit. He hasn't revealed everything about Himself to us, but the little bit that He has chosen to reveal to us is revealed in His Word. Now, Terry and I used to work at the rehab center down in Hungerford, Texas. And the first thing that we would do to a person that would come in that needed rehab from drugs or alcohol or whatever life-controlling situation they found themselves in, was we would put them on a regimen of Bible memorization. Now, of course, people with PhDs in psychology and all of this stuff, they might scoff at that. But we understood that if you're going to live a life that makes any kind of a difference, you need to know what the heart of God is. And the only place for us to go that reveals God's heart is His Word. And so that was for 6 months they would spend time memorizing Scripture and getting that Scripture in their hearts. What does the Bible say? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I may not sin against thee. And so what Zophar has realized here is that the ways of God are so far beyond our ways, it's beyond us finding out except until we go to His Word. And that's what we need to do. Go to His Word. We're working with somebody right now. I really want to know what God's will is, what He's doing in my life. And I said, well, that's easy. We'll go to the Gospels and we'll read the red. And what does it mean to read the red? Who can tell me what to read the red? Yes, ma'am?
Words of Jesus.
That's right. If you have a red letter edition of the Word of God, all the words that Jesus spoke are in red. And so that's what I encourage this person to do. Let's read the red. Let's find out what Jesus had to say. Oh yes, we have all of the epistles and all those other things, but let's find out what the Word of God has to say. Let's find out what the Son of God has to say in revealing the heart of the Father to His creation. And so far has it. He says, aside from God speaking, and He has in His Word, aside from God speaking, His ways are beyond our ways. So trying to justify ourselves before God, and oh God, why is this happening to me? It's just a waste. Because we don't know what God is doing. And he says, verse 9, its measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he passes by or shuts up or calls an assembly, who can restrain him? And think about what he's saying. If God decides to walk down this road and somebody says, oh, excuse me, you cannot go here. What do you think God does? Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Silly me, I thought it was the world is the workmanship of my hands, and I thought I could wander down any old road. No, you can't stop God. If you ever have an opportunity to travel overseas, especially in the Middle East, there are roadblocks set up all over the place. And you pull up to these things and you have to present your papers and your passport, all this good stuff, and they look you over real carefully and okay, we'll let you pass. Can you imagine God showing up at one of those crossings? Excuse me, sir, you don't have the proper paperwork. And God says, well, I'm going to lose sleep over that, and just continues on His way. So if he passes by, are you going to restrain him? If he shuts something up, if he says, nope, that's it, you can't come by here, then who's going to say, oh, excuse me, no, I want in. No, if God says no, the door is closed, the door is closed. If he calls an assembly, I want everybody to come together. You think about that. When has that ever happened? Has God ever called an assembly?
Yeah.
When?
When He called the assembly of Israel together.
Okay, He called that. That's true. That's true, but that wasn't everybody.
Not everybody.
Okay, yeah, not everybody. But how about for Noah? Okay, and he said, okay, I need all the animals to show up. and all the animals showed up. Except as the Scottish song goes, or I guess the Irish song, those silly unicorns, you know, they wouldn't get on. They were too busy playing, all right. But, you know, if God says, come on, then there's no one who can resist. They're going to be there. And so what Zophar has understood is that God is truly almighty. And folks, that's the God that we serve today. And then he goes on and says, for he knows false men and he sees iniquity without investigating. In other words, he can just look at my heart and he says, oh yeah, there's sin there. Oh yeah, he's messed up over there. He can, you know, I might look at Bob and Bob says, no, I'm just perfect and never did anything wrong in my life. And I would have to do some investigation. I'd have to ask around. I'd have to go over here to Margarita. Say, Margarita, I need some dirt on Bob. You know, can you tell me what he's done wrong? Oh, Pastor, no, he's never done anything wrong. Ah, see, going to have to dig a little bit deeper. All right. But you see, with God, he doesn't have to investigate. He knows the thoughts and the intents of every man's heart. Amen? And so this is the conclusion that Zophar, the youngest one of the bunch, has come to. And the thing that I want us to see today is that there are two sides to everything. And as we go through the problems of life and we experience some of the things that the devil threw at Job. Job lost his financial security when he lost all of his cattle and everything. He lost his family in a moment. His 7 sons and 3 daughters were killed. He lost his standing in society. He lost everything in a day. And then after a little passage of time, he lost his health. And there he languished with nowhere to go, no one who understood. Even his wife is saying, Job, why do you retain your integrity? Curse God and die, because even Sheol has to be better than this. And nobody understands. And finally, after months of surviving like this, 3 of his friends come and they try to console him. 2 of them are just lambasting him. Job, you have secret sin, because God isn't going to judge somebody like this unless you have secret sin. And guess what? Who was doing this to Job? Was it God? No, it wasn't God. They assumed it was God. But we know from reading the opening chapters to Job that it was Satan that was doing this. Satan was attacking Job. And we go through the things of this world. Sometimes it is an attack from the enemy. Sometimes it's just the result of living in a fallen world. We have deformities. We have gene mutations. We have things that happen to us. Dad Ross is, you know, can't see out of one eye and is, you know, legally blind in the other because he has a retinal degeneration, macular degeneration. All right. Why? It just happens. Maybe too much time in the sun. Maybe got smacked upside the head by an older brother. I don't know. Just something like that happens. Is it God's fault? No. Is it devil's fault? No. It's just life. Folks, life happens. But remember what our opening statement was. There's two sides to every story. And if we go through life just concerned about what we can see, just concerned about what we perceive is going on, well, this is what has happened, then we're going to be no better than Job's friends, thinking and really just becoming bitter because, I've done everything that I know how to do. How could God allow this? Or how could God do this to me? And then we become bitter. And don't you know that's just exactly where Satan wants us to be?
Right.
Amen? There is nothing less effective in this world than a bitter Christian.
That's right.
Amen? I've gone into people's homes and immediately they have to sit down and tell me every bit of dirt that's been done to them throughout the ages. And I think we all know people like that. It's not, how are you doing today? Oh, you would not believe what so-and-so said to me. You would not believe. There are just people that that's all they can see, and a root of bitterness has sprung up in their hearts, and they are the most ineffective Christians that there can be. After all, who do you think they can influence to become a Christian? Well, I was done wrong, and life has just been, you know, the pits for me since I've become a Christian, but you really need to accept Jesus as your Savior. Yeah, that's really going to work, isn't it? Oh, sign me up. What line do I need to stand in? All right? It's the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. Amen. And so what we need to be doing is sharing the good things that God has done for us. And if you have that root of bitterness in your heart, you're not going to be able to do that. Now, every one of us in this room have been done wrong. People have done things, said things, whatever, against us, stolen from us, defrauded us, whatever you can think of. It's all happened, but do we choose to dwell on that? Or do we choose to put that under the blood and continue on with life? Amen? And that is what Zophar is bringing out here. There's two sides, Job. You're seeing what you're going through now. But you know what, Job? And this is so good for the youngest guy there to bring this up. We need to hear from God. We need to hear from God. And so it doesn't matter what it perceives that we're going through. We need to hear from God. Amen. And ultimately, Job is going to languish, you know, a little while longer in this situation, broke, sick, despised, rejected by society, because it's obvious he has this sin in his life. He's going to languish a little bit longer, but ultimately God's going to show up. And God is going to show Job a few things, and he's going to show his friends a few things also. And so this whole story revolves around the fact that there's two sides to every story, and we need to hear from God. Amen? So when we go through the things that we're going through, what we are going through today, we can't draw our final conclusion yet because we've not yet heard from God.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.